Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Bartlett Naylor, who's the Financial Policy Advocate for Public Citizens Congress Watch Division and the Principal of Capital Strategies Consulting, Inc., which works with progressive organizations attempting to reform public policies where corporations play a key role. Formerly, he served as Chief of Investigations for the United States Senate Banking Committee, where he led probes of the savings and loan crisis, corporate takeovers, and insider trading. Welcome to Background Briefing, Bartlett Naylor.
Thanks for having me.
And Bartlett, this brazen new bill that's been introduced by Senators Portman and Collins on the Republican side and Democrat Mark Warner on the Democratic side, which they've called in a very lofty way the Independent Agency Regulatory Analysis Act, appears to be, and it's a bit of a paradox to have a brazen stealth attack, but this is really a way to essentially neutralize or render impotent the Securities and Exchange Commission, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the Consumer Product Safety Commission, and the National Labor Relations Board. In other words, it would be a massive win for Wall Street that everything that's happened since the 2008 crash would be erased. So how come the public don't know about this? But for the New York Times lead editorial in Saturday's newspaper, I wouldn't have known about it.
Yeah. Well, and the New York Times credit them with staying on top of the sort of quiet or dark mugging that financial reform law is suffering by highly skilled Washington attorneys that are either sneaking simple words into legislation that even the bill's official author doesn't realize is going to blow up later through, again, litigation. Because I think the New York Times and other good, sophisticated media understand that it's in these details of cost-benefit analysis and so forth that will eventually permit the banks to engage in bonus bloating, risky behavior that blows up, and we all pay for it, not only with our tax dollars, but with our jobs.
So the methodology of this idea that these bills are only designed to do a cost-benefit analysis, which all sounds really harmless, but in effect, they throw these bills in back to the White House to vet the regulations of the executive agencies. And this takes time, and it delays the implementation of the reforms, and it gives the lobbyists time to lobby the White House, right? And that's how it works, right?
And if you can, quote, win the White House, then you can pretty much stop all whatever regulation that Congress might want, that the regulatory agencies might be prepared to enforce, but that a president chooses not to. There is a separation of powers. I think it's, forget what Federalist paper it started with, but we have separation of powers with the Congress, with the president, with the judicial branch. But this basically says, Congress, go ahead, pass the law. Regulators, go ahead and write it. But first, we're going to see if the president likes it or not.
So Rob Portman, who's one of the sponsors of this bill, he's saying that current and former top officials of independent regulatory agencies support it. Several of them, of course, the signatories are now lobbyists and lawyers for corporate clients. Who used to regulate independent agencies, and one, the only signatory is who's currently an official is Nancy Nord, a Bush appointee at the Consumer Product Safety Commission, who's been a defender of the industry, and will be leaving in October. So the Republicans and those that work on behalf of Wall Street and big corporations, they like these commissions because they can stack the commissions with five people, and that it's a difference from the new bureau, right? They've tried to stop from day one. So, explain that ruse, if you will.
Well, the ruse is no more complex than the teenager who's trying to get the car keys, and if mom says no, you ask dad. But if in this case you've got five parents, and you know you got four people to get a yes from, or more in the sense of enforcement. If you want to get anything done, you have to get three votes out of the five, and it actually means that very often the chairman of a particular commission, Mary Jo White at the SEC, Gary Gensler of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, might be the most powerful and the single most powerful in the sense that he controls staff. But at the CFTC, for example, it's all about Mark Wiegand. He is the swing Democratic vote, and the current debate that's going to be taking place for the next July 12th, what is that, 1 week, is that Friday, is over whether or not Mark Wiegand thinks that American cops should be policing American banks operating in London as opposed to English cops. There'll be a lot of pressure on that. But again, so if you have a commission, as you I think accurately said, it introduces politics, very much politics, into it, because the commissioners have to be from different parties. They're themselves essentially the subject of, or object of, patronage jobs, because you gotta get through the Senate. So what's the easiest person to get through the Senate? Well, it's a Senate staffer. So you're saying, for example, two Senate staffers going through to become SEC commissioners. And Mark Wiegand was a Senate staffer. In fact, he works for Kerry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader.
Again, I'm speaking with Bartlett Naylor, the financial policy advocate for Public Citizens Congress Watch Division. He also served as the chief of investigations for the United States Senate Banking Committee. Now, according to the New York Times editorial that titled in Saturday's New York Times, "Reining in the Regulators," which again is the first time I'd heard about this Senate bill called the Independent Agency Regulatory Analysis Act of 2013, which is a brazen attempt to neutralize these very important government agencies. The Securities and Exchange Commission that oversees Wall Street, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau that is the product of Dodd-Frank and the reform since 2008, the Consumer Product Safety Commission, and the National Labor Relations Board. And essentially, Wall Street has tried to do away with Dodd-Frank from the day one. And it looks like if this bill passes, they will finally be able to do it. It'll be an end run around everything that big corporations and big banks don't like.
Yes, yes.
I mean, this is really incredibly serious.
Long ago. Yeah, this started long ago. You know, Rob Portman worked for that White House office that oversees and does the cost-benefit analysis, or reviews the cost-benefit analysis. So he's probably been thinking about this some time. In July of 2011, an enterprising attorney named Eugene Scalia, yes, he is the son of the Supreme Court Justice, successfully won a judicial order, a judge's opinion, that the cost-benefit analysis in a rule promulgated by the Securities and Exchange Commission was deficient. Ever since that ruling, it's like, you know, the lobbyists have been probing for something that works, and this works. So suddenly you see a flower explosion. I'm sorry, you see a proliferation on the Hill of so-called cost-benefit bills. Yes, the Portman Warner bill is one of them. I think there's probably at least two dozen at various stages.
So how does since where you work on the Hill, on behalf of consumers, and you're outnumbered about 1,000 to 1 by.
Oh, well, you exaggerate. It's 150 to 1.
In terms of lobbyists for Wall Street.
You count registered lobbyists, and then you put the good guys on one side and the bad guys on the other. It's 150 to 1.
Okay, well, excuse my hyperbole. You're still outnumbered.
Yes, we are, 150 to 1, and they spend roughly $2 million a day lobbying. That's not the campaign contributions. That's just how much I and my 11 other colleagues are paid somewhat less than that.
So, how do given the domination of our politics by wealth and power, and of course, the means by which we elect people now is the floodgates have been opened by the Citizens United decision. So whoever spends the most money buys the most politicians. That seems to be the new rules. Now, how do you, you know, I'm bringing this issue up because I was alarmed when I read it. And I'm, you know, assuming that if the American public realize that what little protection they have as consumers and citizens is about to be taken away from them, they ought to do something about it. So, how do we go from A to B?
You are the mechanism of going from A to B. You're right. We do have a $1 one vote. Dynamic. Fortunately, we also have a one-person, one vote, every other November. And the money that the members of Congress, for example, are raising from Wall Street, we want them to have to spend it on advertising, defending their bad votes on Wall Street issues. And how do we get them to defend it, that the public knows that their member of Congress was selling out to Wall Street? Well, by causing your listeners to hear about it, causing the readers of the New York Times to understand. It's also important that the home media, Kristen Sinema, major disappointment, a freshman from south of Phoenix, is voting wrong each and every time. And golly, big surprise, when the fundraising numbers came out, she had raised $333,000 in her first 3 months in Congress, just shy of the $345,000 that Nancy Pelosi had raised. And Nancy Pelosi can raise money, I tell you. Well, so we think that, of course, can't explain her bad votes. It just must be that she learned something about Wall Street reform that her seniors on the committee with a collective 200 years of experience just didn't understand. We're looking forward to having Representative Sinema tell us why she voted that way, so that, of course, Maxine Waters and Mr. Capuano and so forth can change their votes, since they obviously had not understood Wall Street as well as she has in her first 3 months. So we need the local media in Phoenix, Gwen Moore in Madison, Wisconsin, and so forth. We need the readers of those newspapers to understand how the congressperson is voting and why.
But you mentioned our local congresswoman, Maxine Waters. Is she on the right side or the wrong side?
She is completely on the right side. She is
right.
Wonderful.
I thought I would have expected.
The New York Times had a big profile on her a couple of Sundays, the mellowing of Maxine Waters. She used to be known as Kerosene Maxine, and now, you know, is she a mellower one as she's the ranking member on the
right. Well, we all know that Congress people want, they literally vie to be on the banking committee because of the money that pours in.
I know, they're so excited about financial policy, and they don't really care that they can raise money from Wall Street. It's all this love of finance.
Right.
I'm being sarcastic. I apologize.
I get it. Well, I thank you for joining us, Bartlett Naylor. I wish I could do thanks. More. I mean, I'm not a powerful voice in the media, unfortunately. But
you are. You should just do all banking all day radio show.
Thank you. Thanks for the tip. Again, right. I've been speaking with Bartlett Naylor, the financial policy advocate for Public Citizens Congress Watch Division and the principal of Capital Strategies Consulting Inc., which works with progressive organizations attempting to reform public policies where corporations play a key role. Formerly, he served as chief of investigations for the United States Senate Banking Committee, where he led probes of the savings and loan crisis, corporate takeovers, and insider trading. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Jose Benavides. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow at 5 p.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.
Monday morning. morning at 7 on Connect the Dots, we're joined by Congressman Alan Grayson on what action we can take on threats to our democracy, like NSA surveillance, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the Supreme Court decision to reverse the Voting Rights Act, Grayson's anti-fracking amendments, and more. And Mexican labor leader Napoleon...